Good morning, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day to you. When I woke up this morning, Joy is all in red, so I had to change into red. I had a blue, everything blue, you know, so I was going, wait a second, this is Valentine's Day, you got to get some red. So this is kind of red, and I got a red shirt, things like that. And I got some chocolates and things like that. I don't know about you guys, but it's a wonderful day to celebrate the love that we have for one another, for our families, and we have somebody who really loves us so much too, and we'll be talking more about that today. So testing 1, 2, 3, yes, we're looking at testing today, very interesting, because this morning we're talking about things like that as well. Next, please, Karen. And, you know, I do... In my younger days, and hopefully even today, I can still do some of this. I like hiking. I grew up in California, and there's lots of mountains, and we just, my brothers, my friends, and we would just go hiking. And a lot of times we'd come to these areas where we go, well, we can choose this nice, easy, smooth path, which just kind of winds you around, you know, and it'll take a little bit of time, but it's smooth and easy, right? Or you can just go straight up, you know, rocky path and all this stuff, you know. And a lot of times I chose the tough path because I just said, this is a challenge, you know. Let's do it, you know. And then you get up faster and stuff like that. But I'm not sure if it's faster or not because with all the slipping and all that stuff, sometimes you do. You get up there and you're kind of going, oh, wow. Now going down those are even funner. Okay, because you get on your feet and your rear end and you just sit down those areas. But there's choices in our lives between the smooth and easy and the more the rough and difficult path. And actually, today we're going to be looking how Jesus has that choice as well, given him today as well. Next, please. So temptation, we're looking at the temptations today. I'm sure we've read it so many times in Matthew and Mark and Luke, and we're looking today in the book of Luke. And what it says there, I looked up, what is temptation? So I looked up the definition, a strong desire to be something, especially something to do, not be something, do something, especially something wrong or unwise. I thought that was very interesting that they would have that type of a definition. And then this morning we were in James, and I just said, well, you know, that's so appropriate because James kind of discusses a little bit about temptation a little bit further here in chapter 1. And from verse 13 it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he, by his own evil desire, is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So as we're learning a little bit more about temptation, we're learning about, you know, what it is in our lives and you know, what we do when we come up against it. And so we're looking at these here. And, you know, for temptations, I think for me, sometimes it's just a chocolate cake or something like that. You know, those could be kind of tempting. You know, sometimes you go, I already had one piece. Do I go for another? You know, or something like that. All right. So, but there's many different temptations, you know, some are more serious, of course, but all of them have consequences. And, you know, as we'll learn a little bit more about that as we speak. But we also have to remember that Jesus was a real man, okay? He was born, he was given flesh. He came on earth, born as a baby. Remember the child with the four names? Well, here he is, grown up. He's a real man facing a real temptation. In fact, this was full-on temptation because if you look at 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, verse 13 there, talking about when we face temptation, there's always a way out. Jesus had no way out. It was full-on. Full-on for him. And we're going to look a little bit more why, you know, what we can learn from Jesus and the temptations he faced. and some important lessons for us and all of that, and encouragement as well. Let's pray before we go on here. Lord Father, you are the creator of creation, and Lord, even though you are so awesome, you care for us, for we are your creation. You know every one of us, and you know that we need help. And a lot of times, as we're talking before too, that we just don't cry out for help very often because we want to do it on our own, or we feel like we don't want to bother people, or we just our pride gets in the way, or whatever, or we're just so depressed or just so helpless, we just don't know where to go. But Lord, we know we can always come to you. We know we can always come to you. So Lord, teach us, guide us in these times when we face temptation, Lord. Help us to learn from what you faced. And Lord, may you just guide us, open up our hearts and minds that we can also teach others these things and be a model to others. So bless these words by the power of your Holy Spirit, and may your name receive all the glory and praise. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Next, please. So, looking at their first part of Luke chapter 4, it says here, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. So one thing we can really realize that, you know, he's human. Well, we can see that he's actually hungry. I mean, if he wasn't human, he wouldn't be hungry after 40 days of not eating anything. So he must have been famished if he was truly human. And he was. So he's led by the Spirit. Now, don't forget, just before that, he was baptized, right? He was baptized and his ministry was beginning. He was really on a high point of his ministry, to where, you know, in his baptism, the Holy Spirit came on him in power, like a dove. So it was kind of like pointing out, like, you know, here you go, you're starting up now, you know, this is a symbol of that. And then also, you know, the Father speak and say, hey, you're my son, whom I am well pleased, you know, I love you, you know, that. So all that, and even in that time, later on, you know, where John the Baptist pointed at him in John 1, 29, he says, hey, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. So, boy, you know, he's pumped, right? He's pumped. And as we see this, you know, he's going out in the wilderness, and then we're going, well, why is he going in the wilderness? Next, please. Why is Jesus being out in the wilderness? Well, I don't know about you. Maybe some of you have been through boot camp. I don't know if there's any Marines out here. Sympathy, if there are. You know, I have two brothers and went in the Marines. I remember them talking about boot camp. That's probably why I never went into the Marines or anywhere else there. So, and Matt probably knows a little bit about this. My dad was a drill instructor, probably this guy, and coming down going, hey, give me five more, you know, or something like that. You know, the boot camp, you know, it's training. It's not easy. It's not pleasant, you know, but there's a training, something important. You know, they're breaking these guys down. Why? They break them down so they will be obedient at a snap. When somebody in authority over them says, go over there, they go. Because if they didn't, 50 more people probably getting killed right there. They cannot have somebody hesitate. You have to be submissive. You have to be broken. Physically, and I say spiritually as well. Now, what I mean, there's spirits involved, and I don't know how much, but, you know, there's a lot of that going on there too. You know, it's just the human spirit, getting them ready. So Jesus is getting ready. You know, don't forget, he's 30 years old, all right? So he's grown up. He's lived as a human for 30 years. He's experienced so many things already as a child and teenager up to adulthood. So he knows it well. He knows well about being a human being, what it is there. And his metal is being tested. Some people say, well, so why is he going into the desert then? Okay, so he's getting prepared for this ministry. His metal is being tested to see what kind of kingdom he really is going to usher in. Because there's been so many other people that said, I am the Messiah, or acted like that. And they just came out just to be human beings after their own self-motivation. They're bringing in a kingdom that's just a kingdom that's of man, temporary, not much of, maybe you'll, some people will have a kingdom like Alexander the Great for so many years, you know, but eventually he dies and his kingdom breaks apart. No, this is a different kingdom, but his metal is being tested. So after 40 days of fasting, he was hungry. Next, please. So the devil, he's always looking for those opportune times, right? Opportune times to get at us. And as we were talking today, you know, the devil can suggest, and he can powerfully suggest, to tempt us, make these things, you know, really make it hard for us to resist. But the action is on us. We're the ones with the free choice, whether we're going to do it or not. Okay? And when it's Jesus' turn, you know, facing this full-on temptation, we're going to see, because he's also human. So, you know, the enemy's saying, okay, well, I'm coming after you. I'm going to take you down. I know how to do it. And he looks, you know, he seems to attack when we're on the highs or in the lows. You know, in the middle, maybe as well, but I think he really takes advantage of the highs. If you look at the story of Elijah, remember that, Mount Carmel, you know, the fire comes down, burns up everything. He defeats all the other prophets. They kill the prophets, other prophets who are worshiping idols and stuff like that. But then, and then he runs, you know, in front of the chariot of the King Ahab into the city. And then Jezebel says, you're a dead man. And I tell you something, instead of saying, oh yeah, look what just happened. You know, I got it. Instead of doing that, it was kind of like his whole life turning. He just went, and he ran off into the desert, depressed, ready to die. After this huge high of seeing God deliver this fire from the sky and burning the sacrifice in front of 800 other prophets who are worshiping idols, he was on a high. But the enemy saw that he can still get them, even in that. Because we're fragile, you know, we're up and down and all that. Next, please. So we need to be careful in those moments, right? Anytime, we need to be watchful of what the enemy is doing. Well, as we go on there in verse 3 and 4, the gauntlet, I love, you know, the gauntlet could be done. I remember seeing a Clint Eastwood movie a long time ago. They were going through, they called it the gauntlet, and he had to ride a bus, and he was trying to save somebody. And they had, the bad guys were lined up in two rows, and they were shooting everything. I don't know. Ross seems to know this one. I don't know. This, and he, of course, Clint and the person he's trying to save, you know, gets through it. But the bus took a pretty good beating, too. But, you know, the gauntlet is really a test. Okay, it's a test for us. And test number one is right here in 3-4. It says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. So first of all, the devil, you know, he's very smart, all right? He knows how to speak, because if you go back to the days of Adam and Eve in a garden, he just seems to just to know how to just word things in a way that causes us to go, oh, wow. And did you see what devil said to him? He says, if you are the Son of God. So he's already trying to cause doubt, planting the seeds of doubt in Jesus' mind. Just saying, Jesus, really? Or did you just hear something in your own heart? Somebody said that to you or something. Or are you really his son? You know, look what he's done. If he is, what are you doing out here in a desert and you're starving to death? It's not going so well, is it? It's not going so well. it's kind of tough. There's an easier path here, Jesus. Look, if you're the Son of God, you got the power, you got the supernatural power to turn these stones into bread. Do it. Don't wait for the Father. Why are you doing that for? He sent you out here, nowhere's land. Well, the choice, remember, there's a choice between the hard road and the easy road. You know, Jesus is choosing the hard road, yeah. Comfort versus suffering, that's a huge challenge for us. Do we seek the comfort or do we seek the suffering? You know, Jesus is choosing the suffering. And Hebrews 5:8, I'm going to turn to that here. If I can find it, I thought I marked it off here. Maybe I didn't. My finger's a little dry, so it's hard for me to turn the pages. Hebrews 5:8 says this, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Kind of a strange sentence, isn't it? Let me read that one more time. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Wow. Boot camp, suffering, there's a reason for it. It teaches us obedience, dependence, reliance. See, Jesus, he's not going to show no lack of faith in his Father. He knows his Father. He's spending 40 days, you know, it kind of reads like, oh, Satan was tempting him for 40 days, but I really believe this temptation came at the end of those 40 days. The other 40 days, Jesus was before his Father, and they were just talking. Maybe he had the scrolls, and he was reading some scriptures and things like that, too. I really believe he was abiding and communing with God, his Father, and the Holy Spirit was there, because the full of him went out there in the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. So all three, the Trinity, meeting together in the desert. I believe he was doing that. And then the enemy came in, shattered a peace at the end. Look, knowing that that was a very opportune time to get him. Jesus wouldn't show that lack of faith. He was going to depend upon his Father. Instead of just turning those stones into bread, which would have been easy for him. I would have said, oh yeah, you devil. Look at this. Nice, big, sour bread. You know, a little butter on the side. You know, in your face. With disgrace. Right? But no, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't do it. He rebuked him using Deuteronomy 8:3, saying, you know, hey, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So he just rebukes them. Next, please. So going on, test number two, gauntlet. That looks fun. I think there's some scorpions or something down there underneath, maybe. I don't know. That'd make it even funner. All right, but test number two, from 5 to 8, verses 5 to 8, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him, and in an instant, all the kingdoms of the world. Okay, so whether he did that physically or not, you know, I think it was more of a vision, but he was able to allow Jesus to see all the kingdoms of God, and he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Put in a little bit of this, put a little bit of that, you know, a little Paris, a little Moscow, a little Tokyo, a little L.A. I'm not sure you want L.A. New York may be better, Chicago, things like that. Oh, yeah, put it in there, right? It sounds good. For it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. Sounds like a kind of a kid, doesn't it? Kind of a brat. This is mine, and I can give it to anybody I want to. Do you want it? Do you want it? So if you worship me, there you go. there's another if. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The temptation is there. You know, and you got to kind of look at, I can give all this. Can Satan, remember now, this is Satan. This is the devil. He says this is all his to give. Really? I mean, if you looked at Ephesians, if you went into Ephesians 2, it talks a little bit about some of these things there, if I can turn that. Get in that here. Okay. 2:2 says this. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So it's talking about, you know, Satan being the ruler of the air. Okay, and then if you go to 6:12, they're talking about right here. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All right? There's power there for sure. He has power. But it doesn't look like he has the power to give anything to anybody, especially the kingdoms of the world. All right? Because don't forget, in 8:44, when John was talking about the devil, he called him the father of lies. He's a liar. That's his native tongue, right? And he tends to bend things. And if you look at Job there, see if I can find Job real quick for you. Job went through this horrendous trial, temptation. Satan was tempting him to curse God and die. Would Job do it? I mean, do you remember the life of Job? He lost all of his family and all of his riches and all that. And then he had this disease come on his body, very uncomfortable. He was really being tested strongly there. In 42:1-3, it says this, then Job replied to the Lord. This was at the end. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. And we also know that God is the creator of all creation. If anybody can give anything to anybody, it is God. Because if you look at the book of Job, Satan even had to come to God to ask for what? Permission, right? To attack Job. So he might have said this. So check the source of the voice. When you hear things, even in a dream or vision, I know some people hear these things and they come up with some weird things when they talk to me. And I kind of go, where's that in the word? Check it out here. Somebody talking to you, you get on the TV and somebody's, you know, sounds all this great stuff he's talking about. Or you meet a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness in the streets or whatever, or at your house or whatever, and you're talking about this and that. Check it out here. Check the source of the voice. Because he is a liar. And Jesus knew that. And he knew that the devil did not have any power to give him anything. He knew that. He knew who holds everything. He does. And later on, we'll find out, you know, as you know, at the end here, in Matthew 28, what did he say? All authority is given to me. All authority. That's Jesus said that. All authority has been given to me. That's where it lies. Next, please. So the third test there in verse 9 to 12. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If, here we go again, if you are the Son of God, so he just can't get off that. he's a little repetitive, isn't he? He said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So now the enemy kind of, you know, he has a way of twisting the meanings of Scripture. You know, a lot of people, they just start going, tum, tum, tum. You know, they say, oh, look what it says here. But they kind of forget the context of where the word is. Or they say just a verse they memorize and says, yeah, this is the way it is. But do they really check it out? I mean, are they looking at other scriptures to confirm that, the way they're saying that it's the meaning of it? See, the enemy was twisting the meaning of the Psalm 91, saying, hey, look, he's going to take care of you. You can do anything you want. Go ahead and do it. You're fine. He's taking care of you. It's kind of like the Israelites in the desert when they didn't have any water and they started complaining. And there in Exodus 17, they just said, is the Lord among us or not? They're testing him. Are you there or not? They're just going to go in your face, God. Good night. What did they just see just before that? God opening a Red Sea and they're walking across on dry ground. They see a pillar of fire, a cloud guiding them. Night and day. And then they come up with this. Their hearts aren't there. Things are being twisted. Temptation does that to us. We get all twisted up. Things come up and we start trying to exonerate ourselves, you know, just justify our behaviors, the way we're thinking or what we're going to do. I'm doing this because I'm doing it right here. It says here. I can do it. But if you look for the context of all going, oops, can't do that. Not if you want to honor the Lord with your life. See, we tend to test God. You know that? I test him. You know where I test him? I test him on the roads. I like to go faster than the speed limit. Now, I try not to go way over it, all right? But I do test it. If it's 70, I'll go 75. That just means there's 5 more miles I can go, per hour I can go. Maybe even 77, because I like 2 sevens, things like that. So, you know, things like that, all right? 35 means 40, okay? Icy conditions, there's salt on the road, all right? So you test them. A lot of us test them in relationships. Oh, that guy is pretty cool. Oh, he's not a Christian. Oh, who cares? God will take care of me. God will take care of me. Oh, I want that girl's pretty cute. I'm going to see if she's going to go out with me. Oh, she doesn't believe in Christ. Oh, who cares? Money. Money's a big issue, isn't it? Huh? A lot of people go, you know, they see people in need and they just kind of go, oh, look at that car. Oh, yeah, I'm picking that up tomorrow. Oh, yeah, credit cards. Yeah, God will help. He'll provide. Yeah. Health. Oh, that second piece of chocolate cake. All right. Hey, I'm just going to eat something. Oh, but God, you can take care of me because you gave me this medicine and that medicine. I'll do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, that big steak. Yep. Cholesterol. Ah, I got my simvastatin. It's all right. So we tend to test them in those areas. But Jesus rebuked that. Don't put your God to the test. You know, don't make him go into action when he doesn't need to, all right? Because he might not. You might find yourself in a heap of trouble. One or a hospital bed sucking on oxygen. You know, or bankrupt, living beneath a bridge. Or in a marriage that you're abused for 20 years. You know, we really have to think about these things. Next, please. But you know what's really awesome? All right, and all this, and all the temptations that we face, and what Jesus faced full on, he just rebuked it. You know, he used the scripture. Did you notice where he was using the scripture? Deuteronomy. You know where they were in Deuteronomy in those areas from chapter 6 to chapter 8? You know where they were? They were in a desert. They were in the wilderness. He was answering the devil out of those scriptures. You don't think Jesus knows what he's doing? He's the greatest teacher of all. He went to the desert for us. Why did he go into the wilderness? He went in there for us. He chose the rough and difficult road for us. He chose suffering over comfort for us to give us victory. Because, you know, we face temptations and he allows us, you know, there's trials and testings for us and such that these temptations are there, but he gives us opportunities to get out of those, right? But he also knows that we're going to fall into temptation because we're weak. He knows who we are. But he gave us victory overall, even over that, even over our weaknesses. Because in Hebrews 2, I have double twos there. Maybe it's that special. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That's the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And I guarantee you, you've seen that in the pandemic times, right? A lot of people fear death. That's why to fear this pandemic, you know, it's something you can't see. It's so different. It's coming at you from different ways. You just don't understand it. A lot of people, a lot of fear. A lot of fear back in many different countries. They have a lot of fear of spirits, evil spirits. A lot of them don't go out at night because there's ghosts. They're going to get you. Jesus is this for us. He went in the desert. He went to the cross for us to destroy the one who holds the power of death, the devil. He did it for us. The victory is won for us. Next, please. And it goes on. It doesn't just stop there, but later, a little bit later on in Hebrews, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Remember, he is human just like us, fully human, going through these temptations, growing up, he knows it all. "But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there an amen on that? I tell you, do you understand this? We're falling. We fall almost every day, if not a lot of times during the day. Okay, I'll say that. There's a lot of temptations out there. He was tempted full on, yet was without sin for us, because he knew we needed help. Without Christ going to the cross for us, remember there in Colossians, you know, we are alienated from God. We're enemies of God. But by his blood on the cross, he reconciled us between God, between us and God. He became the one who says, "You're all right." And God's saying, "Yes, I'm pleased with your sacrifice, what you did on the cross. to pay the penalty of all their sin. Everything is complete. Transaction is complete. It's done once and for all. That's it. Without sin. If he had sin, he couldn't do this. If he fell into temptation back then, or many other times that the enemy looked at him, remember when he was on the cross? And people going, oh, you're on the cross. Get off the cross. Show us that you're the Messiah. You come down. We'll believe. That's Satan's last right hook, right? He's going, come on. I don't want him to suffer. I want you to get comfortable. Get off the cross. Don't you dare do this. Jesus says, I am the Messiah. As he hung on the cross and died for us. Because he knew what he had to do. And he was willing to suffer and go the hard path for us. Next, please. What a Savior. What a Savior. I can read this, but it's just beyond me to understand truly what a wonderful Savior we have. So what can we do? Well, we need to get into personal boot camp. Get trained up, right? There's all these scriptures, you know, here. Seek the face of God, you know, want to dwell with Him, want to be with Him. Seek His face. You know, if you're not doing that daily, do it. He's worthy. He's worthy of us to spend time with Him, seeking Him. That's why we come together on a icy day. On the mountaintop, a lot of other people would not even have come. Because we come because He is worthy. Worthy of our worship. Trust and obey. Use the scriptures as He did to squash doubts. I don't know if you ever read the book Pilgrim's Progress. I really recommend it. I have it in a more readable version, more of our language. You know, the Christian was his name, right? The pilgrim. He had to go through all these things, and sometimes he'd see something over there and says, oh, this is a better route. That's smoother, easier to walk on. Go over there, and he'd get himself in a whole bunch of trouble. Oh, that's a shorter way. I can make up a lot of time going that way. Oop, he runs into something else, and he runs into these demons that were much more powerful than him. And how did he get escape? He used Scripture. He spoke it. Speak the name of Jesus. Speak it. Speak the scriptures. Have those special scriptures in your heart. Memorize. Speak it. The enemy has to flee, right? Next, please. Next, you know, we need to be able to discern His voice. The same thing as what we're talking about. You know, meditate, memorize the Word. Know it. Know the Word. Know the Word. Read it. Know it. Talk about it. That's the way we come together in fellowships. And you know, hopefully we'll have more like small groups and things like that where we're getting Word together, get in personally, get in it with a good friend, whatever. Get into it. You know, the Bible, open the Bible, see what it has taught, you know, what it's teaching. So when somebody is talking about it, you can actually go, oh yeah, yeah, let's see, you know. Oh yeah, yeah, and here's another one that confirms what you're saying, you know, in this context and is, oh yeah, yeah. Next, please. Or spiritual warfare. I don't know if you know that we're in a spiritual warfare. Remember what Ephesians 6 says? You know, it's not flesh and blood that we're fighting against. All right, in the United States, it's more hidden behind doors, but it's there. I know it. I came up against darkness myself here. Over in Thailand, it was much more prevalent, much more. You can see it out there. We had some people we were working with, and they were seeing demons, right? And they were talking to the demons because they feed them. They actually give them food and other things. Feed them, to honor them, to worship them, to appease them. But in the spiritual warfare of all, you know, we have to remember, be aware of the enemy, of his schemes, right? You know, that he's like a prowling lion, ready to look to devour us. So we need to stand firm. You know, and knowing that other people around the world are going through the same kind of sufferings, right? You know, we're not the only ones suffering. People all over the world going through the same kind of suffering. Temptation is out there. The devil is a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So just be aware of that. Don't be sitting and go, huh? Huh? No. Put on your armor. Go back to Ephesians 6. You know, that belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and our feet readied with the gospel of feet and the helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit. The shield, faith. The prayer, the word. That's our offensive weapon is the word of God and prayer. Did you know that? When you're worshiping in truth and in spirit, when you've got the word of God and you're praying, the enemy has to flee. He cannot handle that. It's like you've got a big floodlight just shining into the darkness. He just has to get out of there. He can't handle it. Stand firm, as he says in 4:7. You know, James is saying, you know, submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to Him. Stand firm. Resist the devil. And what is he going to do? He's got to flee because, you know what? The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Don't forget who you got in your heart. You got the Holy Spirit. Remember we talked about the Holy Spirit a little bit last week? That's where all the power comes from. You got it. Each one of us has it. Don't forget that. Use it. Use that power. Next, please. And don't forget this. You know, remember the pioneers that went before us? I remember, I don't know if you ever seen John Wayne's movie, The Searchers. And I remember, you know, it was a rough area. They're way out there in the wilderness. And it was hard to live. Surviving the elements and surviving the bandits and even the natives who were rebelling. They didn't want them there, so they did anything to do either to kill them or scare them off. And I still remember Mrs. Jorgensen, who was one of the pioneers there, and she says, you know, I'm just going to have my bones being put in the ground for somebody else to come next to continue it on. She's willing to have that type of attitude, like, yeah, I'm going to put my bones in the ground right here so somebody else can come and continue on what's been started here. See, I think we've lost that pioneer spirit. We got all comfy. We got the pillows and the soft chairs and all that stuff. See, in Thailand, we'd sit on a concrete floor. We'd be out there in a little hut amongst the rice fields where snakes and whatever else are. You see, we got comfortable. Comfort becomes our king. Something that we seek more than what Christ offers us. But Christ says, it's a way of suffering. It's a rough road. It's a narrow road. It's a hard and difficult road. Are you ready for it? You're going through boot camp? Are you ready? Because I'm here with you. But you need to have this type of attitude, like a pioneer. You see, we need to teach our children. See, that's been forgotten. Teach them about God and who He is, so we don't have to have doubts. You know, when doubts come up, we can just take care of them by just, you know, in the Scripture, knowing who God is. Or when there's a voice coming into life, our lives, and causing us to twisting things, causing us to go, huh? What? What? No, the Word is here for us. Or offering something so grand. Oh, look! But you can have the cars. You can have a great job. You can have all this. You can have all the comforts of life. Forget about this Jesus. He's not worth it. Pooey. I've lived 58 years in this world. I'll take Jesus anytime. This world, I've been a lot of different places. I grew up in L.A. All right? One of the greatest places in the world to live. I tell you, before all this other stuff, it was a wonderful place. Wonderful weather. Great people, beautiful area, mountains, desert, ocean, within a couple hours of one another. Do anything you want. Great jobs. Great roads. Travel 70 miles one way just to get to work. Yeah, I'll do it. But you know what? When Jesus finally came into my heart, he finally said, hey, there's something more. There's something more. I can give you something much more. It's a harder route, but I'll give you something much more. Follow me. Follow me. I'll give you something that lasts forever. I'll give you a meaning and purpose of life in life. I'll be your friend and your father and your brother. I chose that. Don't give in to the temptations of the enemy. This world doesn't have anything what he has for us. Next, please. See, in Philippians, Paul even realized that. At the end there, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, okay, denying ourselves, right? Putting aside the comforts, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's our goal, the salvation of our souls and the salvation of the souls of others. It's not just for ourselves, but we're doing it for others. Just like Jesus went before us and on that hard, difficult route, he did it for us, and we are to imitate him. We're supposed to do it for others. We're standing firm as pillars in our families to pray for our children and our families around us and our neighbors and our co-workers and our classmates. Pray. Speak Jesus into their lives. Speak him. Speak his name. And I tell you something, the walls of the enemy are going to come crumbling down. The enemy is going to flee, and we're going to see so many people. Their lives are going to be transformed by the life-saving, life-changing power that is in the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we're just in awe of who you are. Each time we get into your word, you're just so amazing. Your love is so great. Can't even grasp how wonderful it is. Thank you for this time in your word, for the reminders, for things that we've learned to help us to stand firm in a faith and to trust in you and to follow you and to be prepared and also to live as you did, not taking the easy route, but taking the difficult route of self-sacrifice, of denying ourselves, of following you. Lord Jesus, following you to show others the way, to tell others the way, to pray for them, to encourage them, to love them, and hopes that they will receive the same salvation that we have by your wonderful grace. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. All those people say, amen.